This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, January 17th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. People often say having more money would make them happier. And while getting a raise at work can brighten your day, that feeling of happiness is often short-lived.
We often dwell on one thing changing in our lives and how that would make us happier. But even if you got a big raise, you might still have some of the same annoyances at work. Or even if you switch jobs, you may have the same conflicts with family members at home.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELFT. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
More money in your paycheck doesn't always translate to more happiness in your life. Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Joe Pinsker joins me. So, Joe, a lot of people have gotten raises in the past several years as they've changed jobs. Are you here to tell us that money isn't everything?
I'm not sure if people really need me to be the one to tell them that, as it isn't exactly breaking news. But yes, many people have gotten some pretty hefty raises over the past few years. Median year-over-year wage growth hit a recent high of 6.7% in the summer of 2022, based on data from the Atlanta Fed. And a lot of people added tens of thousands of dollars to their annual compensation.
But wouldn't being told you're getting a raise give some people at least a bit of happiness?
Oh, it certainly does. I want to be clear about that. And for many people, that is the case. Higher incomes are, in general, correlated with more happiness. But there are some interesting patterns that come up when you talk to individual people about how a big raise went for them. I was talking with one woman who's an accountant in the Chicago area who was saying that she got a big raise, it felt great, and she booked a vacation the next month. But not long after coming back, the feeling had kind of faded for her and she'd reverted to some sort of baseline that she had of happiness.
We're in an era where workers are comfortable talking about their salary with other coworkers. How much does that contribute to this ebbing of happiness, even in the face of getting a raise?
The way we feel about our pay definitely has a lot to do with how it compares to the people around us. Those may be coworkers, those may be friends. We're sort of looking around at our peer groups to see if we're happy with our pay or not. So to the extent that sharing salary information might make people feel bad, that's definitely a consideration, though there's a lot to be said for salary transparency, just in terms of sharing information, making sure people know how much would be fair pay for the work that they do.
How does where someone is in their income scale affect their happiness when they get a raise?
Pay raises can make a huge difference to people, especially at lower ends of the earning spectrum. And if you're moving from financial stress to financial comfort, a raise can be awesome. That's something that's come up in several interviews I've done lately with people who got a big raise. One interesting note is that as you move up the income scale, it takes more and more money to generate the same boost in happiness that you see when you look at the correlations in the data. So getting a $20,000 raise might not bring you as much happiness if you're making $100,000 than if you're making $40,000.
So for people who do get that feeling of happiness when they get a raise, how do financial planners say they should put that feeling of elation to good use?
A raise is a really good opportunity to survey your finances and see where you might be able to up your savings or pay down more debt. I was talking with a financial planner who was saying that most often the pattern she sees is that when people get a raise, they end up just starting to spend it and it almost disappears into their monthly cash flow. A much better way to go about things is to be deliberate about automatically just diverting some of that raise money into savings, into your retirement account, et cetera.
So what's the biggest takeaway from this, Joe? What would make people happy?
JR, I am not a happiness guru, but after writing a couple of stories about this, I'll give an answer that may help. And something that's sort of crystallized for me as I've been talking with researchers who study happiness is that the answer is not one thing. We often dwell on one thing changing in our lives and how that would make us happier. But even if you got a big raise, you might still have some of the same annoyances at work. Or even if you switch jobs, you may have the same conflicts with family members at home. We zoom in on these things thinking that changing them would make us happier, when in reality, happiness is this really complicated summation of all the things going on in our life. So by all means, try to make yourself happier in one dimension, but don't overlook everything else.
That's WSJ reporter Joe Pinsker. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with WSJ's Laura Saunders to discuss whether you should take the standard deduction when you file your taxes. This episode was produced by Zoe Culkin, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.